Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Fun, entertaining, knowledgeable.
All right.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Right.
Live and local, it's time for the Fan Morning Show with Bart Winkler.
Actually, let's play a little game here. You have 30 seconds to vote. Would you rather hear from Lorenzo Cain over the weekend, or I will set my lineup live for DraftKings for the DC United-Toronto game coming up in an hour on ESPN2?
You know, as much as I love your expert DraftKings and analysts and all that, and your analysis for the MLS, yeah. I got to get Lorenzo Cain's my boy. He's my favorite player on the Brewers, so I got to go low.
And the voting has come in. 97% say Lorenzo Cain, 2% for the MLS, and 1% said Bart take the rest of the year off. So the quick voting has come in. Appreciate that. We will hear from Lorenzo Cain in a minute. Also, the big story today in sports is that the Washington football team, as we're calling it at this point, is going to change their name. I'm still pulling for the DC Defenders to steal the XFL name. I'm pulling for like Washington Football Club, Washington FC, and give it a soccer name, because that would probably irritate a lot of people. That'd be funny. I think if I was a Washington fan, I would want to keep red in the name, but make it less what it is now. I would say Red Tails is a good one that's getting a lot of play from, like, to honor WW2, World War II fighters. Red Wolves is gaining steam. Somebody made some mock Red Wolves logos, and they look great. Think of the W.
Yeah.
And then the top of the W is the Capitol building. But okay. Then the W in the middle, where you make the W, is the wolf.
I haven't heard that one. That one's new.
I didn't hear it till yesterday. It looks good.
How do you feel about the Warriors?
I don't like it.
Yeah.
I think that you already think of Golden State.
Right.
I'd like them to come up with something new, but I also don't want it to be, if I was a Washington fan, I'd want something red, Red Tails, Red Hawks, Red Wolves, or the Hogs, to pay homage to the early 90s team when the offensive line was called the Hogs and people would dress up like pigs to the game. So there's already that. I'd want it to be something that there's already something of. I wouldn't want it to be. There's a lot of suggestions. And if you look at the betting odds for this, the Washington Presidents is like 4-1 odds. That is dumb. Then there's like the Washington Lincolns or the Washington Roosevelts. That feels like too much of a stretch. The Washington Monuments. The Washington Americans. I don't mind, because you can counter with the Washington Nationals. I think you got to go Red something or the Hogs. So today we are supposed to have the official announcement that it's over. And then maybe today we'll get an inkling as to what the new name will be or not. I'm just fascinated how quickly this went down. Because for years this has been a discussion, but all of a sudden, hey, money talks. FedEx was like, you know what? We're not doing this. And then Nike and Amazon, they're like, all right, we'll pull it too. Just like that, Daniel Snyder, the owner, who said he will never change it, had to rush to change it within just a couple of weeks. So if we do have news on that before the end of the show, we will let you know on that. Lorenzo Cain talking over the weekend. I thought it was pretty interesting to hear some of the stuff he had to say. He really did not get a lot of at-bats over this quarantine. You hear from some of these other guys, and if you haven't heard yet on the station, we'll bring them to you. But they found ways to stay active. They either knew somebody that, you know, was in college that could throw to them, or if they were a pitcher, they found collegiate batters that could hit to them. Or Corey Knebel as a friend that's in the Rangers, I think, organization, or the Cleveland organization that's a minor leaguer, and they worked out together a little bit. People have found ways to work out. Lorenzo Cain, in the offseason, lives in Oklahoma with his wife and his three kids, and didn't really have anybody to work with. Didn't really have anybody to hit off. I mean, he describes his time in quarantine, when he got to Milwaukee, and what he's been up to.
But I basically showed up probably a week to 10 days before we officially had to be here. I guess we had to be here like July 1st or something like that. So I got here as soon as we got word that we can kind of start going. Got in the car, drove up with the kiddos. And the prep work was, you know, definitely not the same. You know, not being able to go actually use weights and work out at a gym and have the things I'm used to having. It was definitely tough for me, you know, and not being able to hit much during the quarantine deal or whatever. It was tough, but I was basically just trying to go to a cage and hit off a tee. Didn't really have anybody throw to me, so I basically hit off a tee for 3-4 months or however long the layoff was. And just basically tried to run out at my land that I have in Oklahoma. And just trying to stay busy and stay in the best shape, as best shape I could during those few months. But definitely not the shape I was in when I got to spring training for sure. But we're trying to get back there with the legs, with the swing, you know, just the whole body, just trying to get it back to where I was.
This is a big league hitter, veteran. The only access to hitting he could do during quarantine was hitting off a tee. He saw next to no live pitching. Like these golfers that were on this hiatus, they at least were able to get to courses and play. It'd be like if they could only go to the driving range and that was it, and that never play. Actually, Lorenzo's situation is like a more extreme version of that. He's hitting off a tee for 4 months next to no live pitching.
I didn't face any live pitching. Only thing I was able to do, actually, my buddy I was throwing to early on, he got released. So, you know, that was kind of a sad deal for him. So I just basically hit off the tee the entire quarantine deal or entire time I was home. And then once I drove up to Milwaukee, we were going out to a college, and I basically went from hitting to a tee to, you know, facing Big Wu in live pitching. So it didn't go well for me, but but yeah, it was tough, you know, but that's what we have to do to play catch up, you know. You know, to go from hitting off the tee to facing 98, you know, it's definitely been on the grind, but we're all in the same boat. We're all trying to play catch up. You know, some guys have better situation than others that maybe they could work out while they're home, or maybe they could hit in a cage, or, you know, but that wasn't the case for me. So I'm sure that wasn't the case for a lot of guys. And like I said, we're all just trying to play catch up at the same time.
You really don't plan though to have 4 months of inactivity. Like we hear Pascal Siakam and our Chris Middleton don't have basketball hoops at their house. They didn't really pick up a basketball. You know, you can't just assemble a squad like the Sandlot and play a game every day. And Lorenzo Cain, the one thing he could do to stay in shape was, honestly, chase his kids around, his three kids at home.
Yeah, they've been here. We all drove up together. It's tough. It's a tough situation to be in, but for the most part, my kids are, you know, pretty healthy. So that makes it a little bit easier, you know, having any underlying conditions or anything. So. Like I said, we're just trying to, you know, do what we're told as far as, you know, washing your hands and wearing masks, and, you know, go out in public, you know, make sure you're doing the right thing and, you know, keeping your distance. So, that's what I'm trying to preached to my wife and preached to the kiddos and myself. So I feel like if we continue to do that, hopefully everything will be safe and we'll be safe. And hopefully we just get through the season without having to stop or cancel it or anything. So it's all a work in progress, but we'll see what happens.
Kane talked to the media over the weekend, talked a lot about catch-up mode. And when you don't hit off live pitching for 4 months, you're going to be in catch-up mode. But he's looked good, according to counsel. He may need some days off throughout the season. Of course, I think of Lorenzo Cain, and, you know, he's been in the league for so long. We remember him like a decade ago when he came up with the Brewers, then obviously had most of his success in Kansas City. He's 34 years old, but what am I? I'm 36. I feel like he is older than me. I feel like he's like 100. You know, when I think of Lorenzo Cain, he's perfected the art, and I mean this in a good way, of not giving 100% when you don't need to. If he doesn't need to give 100%, he's not sprinting when he knows he's going to be out. He's not sprinting if he knows he's not going to get the ball. But when he is 100%, he's still quick. He's still quick as a hiccup. He can still get to first base. He can still chase those balls down in the outfield. You know, he does a good job of managing when to go 100%. But you've seen him out there. You know, I thought when he came over here at first, I thought he's going to be like a 30 and 30 guy. I thought he's just going to be mashing bombs all over the place. Lorenzo Cain has never hit more than 16 home runs in a season. But for some reason, I thought, because I drafted him in all these leagues. I don't know, Miller Park. But he hit 10 home runs 2 years ago, 11 home runs last year. Stolen bases have been actually pretty good. 30 stolen bases his first year, 18. So he's played well. He's an all-star 2 years ago, in the MVP voting a couple years ago, Gold Glover last year. So he's played well. It's just he seems to me just the eye test a little more. I mean, he's 34. He's 34 playing a young man's game. He's 34. So you could see him at the designated hitter spot more this year, although he loves being in the field. He would rather not. If it means he gets to play a little more, fine. But let Yelich, let Braun have that spot in the lineup.
I'm sure Bronny will probably occupy the DH more often than a lot of us. But at the same time, it's something that we're ramping up really fast. So I'm sure a lot of guys are going to continue to be sore throughout this whole 60 games or however far we go. So mixing a day off here and there definitely wouldn't hurt. But like I say, you know me, I don't like to come out of the lineup. I like to be in there day in and day out. And we'll figure that out. But as of right now, my goal is to go out there and hopefully play all 60 and hopefully go to playoffs and kind of just see what happens.
Now, am I older? I was born in 84. Am I older than Braun? No, he was 83. What, Sam, are you 25?
24.
Dude, when all of the athletes on the team are older or younger than you, it sucks. Like Rodgers, I think, is a little older than me. Braun is November 83. Rodgers is December 83. Other than that, the Brewers that are younger than me are everyone.
I know what you mean, though, because like this past year,
just Bronny,
the NFL draft, like a lot of these guys now are, you know, a little younger than me. So I'm yeah, starting to feel a little bit now.
Yeah,
I know what you mean.
It slowly gets there once you hit 30. And you're like, running backs are trash when you're 30. I'm like, I'm 30. I don't know. I still always imagine when I go into the ballpark and get that privilege of seeing these guys, I still always imagine they're my elders. They're, you know, older than me. But no, I'm talking to a 25-year-old kid, and I'm like so nervous to go talk to Keston here. I think he's like the elder statesman of the world. Nope, he's a kid. Kids are born in the 90s, and now you see some of these kids entering sports born in the 2000s. To bring up MLS for the 90th time today, I was watching a game over the weekend. A substitute comes in. They're like, hey, here comes the 16-year-old midfielder. What?
Going back to the Brewers, it kind of feels like Woodruff's older than you, but he's definitely not.
No. Well, I felt like Woodruff and I kind of looked alike for a while because we both had the red beards.
Yeah.
I said, hey, you know, I talked to him once in the locker room. I said, I got a red beard. You got a red beard. There's some people think we look alike. He goes, no. He looked at me and goes, we do not.
That's surprising because Woodruff is always really polite to the media.
He said it in the most polite way.
Yeah.
He was, no, sir. He said it in the most polite way, but that's my Woodruff story. 414-799-1250. We'll continue to recap the Bucs season. There is a home for sale, too, which one of the Bucs have their homes for sales already. And I was like, oh, what? But it might make sense the more that I think about it. Bart Winkler, Sam Schmitz, 105.7 FM. The
Giannis, how about that? What an unbelievable play.
The countdown to the Bucs' return back to the championship.
It's time for another Bucs recap. We are recapping the season up to the Bucs' 53-12 record, and they are at Disney. They are in the bubble. They are practicing. They will have scrimmages next week and games in a couple of weeks. So how did they get to 53-12? We take you to February 2nd. The Bucs come into this one 41-7. Oh, they have to play the Suns. Let's take you back 2 years. The Bucs lost to the lowly Suns twice. Not this night. 129-108. Giannis with a big night. 19 boards, 30 points, dunking on the entire Phoenix team.
Giannis! Oh my goodness.
Wow. Why do Shakira's hips come to mind?
Brooke Lopez, a massive night as well, especially defensively. 17 points on the offensive end, 8 blocks.
Diallo running the floor, getting the rebound. Here's a Como. Mikal Bridges denied.
He's just got a great feel for, protecting the rim, protecting the paint. And there's so many pick and rolls in the league, and Brooke is amazing. You know, they played two bigs, two more traditional bigs, and so I think there were more opportunities tonight. Some of those other guys were driving it, trying to finish on him. So it's a great, great, great effort by him.
It's just a team effort. You know, that they, I think Phoenix got some easy ones at the beginning of the game. We came out a little loose, but we definitely tightened up, and it's just, our goal is to be the number one defensive team again.
Two nights later, the Bucks head to New Orleans to take on the Pelicans, and it's the first ever Giannis versus Zion matchup.
Zion taking on the Greek Freak. And Giannis meets him out the rim. That'll stay in the possession of New Orleans. Well, the Ooze and Oz were starting to drum up for that one.
Zion with 20 points, most of it from the stripe in this one. Giannis with 34 and 17 boards, outperforming the two. The Bucks get the victory, 120-108. 43-7, which is astounding. Sidney Moncrief on our postgame show.
And that's hard to find. Teams that play defense inside and outside at the level that the Bucks have been playing, and to only have lost 7 of the first 50, I can't even comprehend. It's just hard for me to comprehend a team playing that well.
43-7 after 50 games. Bart Winkler along with Sam Schmitz here on The Fan. 53-12 going into the Disney bubble. The Bucks actually, since the regular season's just on pause and it starts again in a couple of weeks, they've lost 3 of their last 4. So panic in Brew City for sure. Nah. The NBA announcing over the weekend that players have to get dressed in their hotel room. And that's, the food was a big deal in the bubble a couple of weeks ago. Now guys have gotten there and it's fine. Now, I just saw PJ Tucker's all mad. He's like, it feels like AAU. Just put your jersey on and go to the game. You can wear a little jumpsuit over it if you need to. Yeah, it feels like AAU. You guys are all living in one place playing basketball. It's weird. Everything's going to be weird. To say that the little things are weird, the whole big thing is weird. Oh, well, it's weird. We got to dress up before we go. No, it's weird that we're trying to play a season in Disney with 22 teams. That's the weird part. Oh, well, we're practicing in conference centers that they just put a floor down. Yeah, that's weird, but it's also weird that the NBA season's not over yet, and it's July 13th. That's the weird part. The Bucks did get to the bubble. They have held a practice or two. They're not, going full out yet. Budenholzer talking over the weekend, says you want to get these guys back acclimated, get their legs under them. We'll do more of the heavier 5-on-5 stuff as we get forward. Giannis has been posting on social media all weekend. He's determined. He's motivated. The other big story in the NBA is all these guys are fishing. So they're looking for stuff to do, and they're trying to figure out what they can do. You saw the Ben Simmons tweet?
Yeah, I saw people ripping him where it's like, dude can't even throw a fish back in water.
Ben Simmons catches a fish of the Sixers, and so he tries to throw it back in the lake. And he's so bad at throwing, you couldn't hit water. He couldn't hit water with the fish. He catches the poor fish, is swimming along in this lake, has no idea, sees this little worm there, thinks, oh, man, dinner. This is great. I've been looking for food all day, and there's just a worm sitting here. It's too good to be true. Let me eat this thing. Eats it. All of a sudden, gets a hook in his jaw, comes up, lack of, you know, air to breathe. Struggling, sees that he's at Disney, the fish. Wow, I'm at Disney? Sees that NBA players are fishing. Oh, wow, I love the NBA. Then sees that it's Ben Simmons that caught him. No, not this guy. So he's got the bleeding mouth, and then it's Ben Simmons that catches him. He's like, all right, well, at least I know that I'll get thrown back into this lake. I will be bleeding. It will really hurt. My life will never be the same, but at least I'll be able to be with my loved ones again soon. All he's got to do is just toss me back into this lake. Here it goes. Doink. Right off the deck. And then he rolls down the hill. And the fish is probably dead. The fish is probably dead right now. He's probably a dead fish. Ben Simmons probably killed him. So that's what's going on in the NBA right now. Guys are fishing. And Ben Simmons is killing fish. Mike Budenholzer's house is for sale. I saw this over the weekend. I don't know if I don't know how bad of a thing it is. He lives in Fox Point. $3.7 million it's on the market for. I mean, obviously, with that price tag, it is a gorgeous home. I don't think he's going anywhere. I don't think he has plans to go anywhere. I think he's moving. I think if I'm Mike Budenholzer, look, I'm not going to be at home for 4 months. What the hell am I paying that mortgage for? I'll flip it. I'll sell it. You know, I can live in an apartment when I get back, and then I'll find another house when I get there, make a little cash on the way. So if I'm, you know, one of these NBA guys, because you got to imagine you're going to be gone for 3 months. You'd be gone for a long time to pay for a home you're not going to be at. I don't know how wise that is. So that's the spin I'm trying to look at it, because I don't know what other reason Mike Budenholzer would have to sell his house unless, you know, you just get tired of it, or you want a new home, or maybe he gave Fox Point a try. Maybe he wants to go up a little further up the North Shore. Maybe he's heard some good things about the South Side. Maybe he wants to dip into Franklin. Maybe he's a member at Tuckaway. I don't know. Maybe you never know. Maybe he wants to... Gosh, Shorewood's great this time of the year. He wants to live by me. There is a house for sale on my block. It's what I call the Packer house. It's green and gold. It's painted green and gold on the outside. So maybe he's a big Packer fan. He wants to live there. It would also be right next to the dry cleaner. So you don't really have a yard. But maybe he wants to live. Maybe he wants to live there. I don't know. Budenholzer's home is for sale. We've got some MLS soccer coming up today. I know you guys are thrilled about that. ESPN2, Chicago and Toronto. What is interesting about the MLS is this game today, well, first of all, it's going to be played in the morning, but it's been postponed twice already. It was supposed to go down yesterday morning, but there were positive tests, so they had to postpone it, and it's going to be today. Stephen Goff with the Washington Post is there in the bubble. And he'll be covering the game today. So I'm going to get his insight onto what is going on down there. And not just, it's not a soccer interview per se. And I learned from my dad from this, because he wrote a book about coaching and it's soccer on the cover. And to get more copies of it sold, he has to be like, it's not a soccer book. It's a coaching book, you know, because of the stigma with soccer. So this is not a soccer interview. I'll be talking to Stephen Goff about a lot of different things, including what other leagues will learn from the MLS. Because I do think the leagues will start. I think they will finish. I'm optimistic about that. I think you're going to see a lot of postponements along the way. I think you're going to see the unexpected along the way. Craig Counsell, talking over the weekend, is looking forward to stuff like that.
we're always going to deal with the unexpected. We're, you know, that's part of this, and we have to be okay with it and adjust to it. And we all have to get thrown out of our schedules once in a while. So, like, getting thrown off your schedule this year or off your plans, it you have to look forward to it almost. That's kind of the attitude you have to take. You don't have to be upset that things didn't go to plan, because you shouldn't expect it. And so that's why I hesitate to be like happy with how things are going, because I'm waiting and kind of looking forward to when things get thrown off schedule and so we can adjust, because we're going to have to do that multiple times this year.
So Stephen Goff will join us in about 10 minutes. 9 o'clock this morning, Travis Diener, who's got a shot at a share of $1 million tomorrow in the basketball tournament with the Marquette Golden Eagles. We'll talk to him, former Marquette star, at 9 o'clock. I want to remind you about my friends at Window Select. Window Select right now, this week, they've got another great deal. When you purchase new windows, you will get a buy one, get one on those windows and no payments until 2020. Window Select, windowselect.com. These guys local, Menominee Falls, Milwaukee based. They have been proudly serving Wisconsin homeowners for many, many, many years. And what better way to check them out and see their products, their high quality, energy efficient products, than to only pay for half of what you're getting. You pay for half of the windows you get. It's a buy one, get one deal. Should I do some math for you? I already sang. I'll do math now. Buy two windows, get two free. So that's four windows you get, and you get two of them free. See how that works? We're watching a lot of numbers shows with the kids, so I'm really into math right now. Buy one, get one. Window Select, an incredible deal. WindowSelect.com, 262-703-3500, 262-703-3500. Buy one, get one at Window Select, and no payments at all until 2021. So not only are you paying for just half of what you're getting because of the great deal, you don't have to pay them until 2021. They'll come out, do that consultation with you. That is of no cost. That is free. They'll let you know, and you'll talk with them, obviously, about, hey, I want this, I want this. They'll find you the best. They can do the doors that you need. They can do the siding, replacement siding, and the windows, the incredible deal on windows. All of their products come with a double lifetime warranty. And again, for every window you buy, you get one free. Let's see your home in a new light this summer. All right, so maybe move into that green and gold house by me. Get some new windows. We'll be best friends. It'll be like the greatest thing ever. WindowSelect.com, 262-703-3500, 262-703-3500, WindowSelect.com. Buy one, get one on the windows, no payments till 2021. You're seeing leagues that have started in America have to make adjustments because of protocols and testing. How much do we expect that to happen in some of these other leagues that are starting in just a matter of weeks? Stephen Goff, Washington Post. He will join us next. Bart Winkler, Sam Schmitz on The Fan. Seven FM, The Fan, 1250 on the AM, radio.com, Bart Winkler. I've been talking a lot about the MLS, more than in a normal summer. Then I see the ratings from Saturday night. They had Atlanta and New York on Fox. Milwaukee's the fourth-rated market. So I know this is a soccer town. We got like 12 soccer bars and one team that's like Division Four. So I have no problem talking a little MLS this morning. Stephen Goff joins us from the Washington Post, Great Midwest Bank Hotline. Stephen's covering this MLS is Back tournament, and there's a game this morning. There's a game in 20 minutes between DC United and Toronto. It's gotten postponed twice because of coronavirus concerns. Stephen, welcome. Thank you for a couple minutes. I say the game's in 20 minutes. Is it still in 20 minutes?
It's a fair question. Yes. Both buses are here. Both teams are on the field warming up. So looks like it's a go.
So you're experiencing somewhat of this life in the bubble. What has it been like for you? And, you know, because I look from afar and I see all these different the basketball tournament that has done it, and it looks like they've done a good job, although they did have to kick out a team or two. You know, the NBA now, MLB's trying to do their thing. MLS for a while was really shaky, at least from the outside, if this tournament was ever going to happen. What are the protocols like? What's everything like actually inside it?
Well, I'm not actually in the bubble. No media, no reporters are allowed inside the bubble. Besides the broadcast rights holders, ESPN, Fox, and Univision. So I do not have the actual inside look, but I am credentialed. I am at the games. There's a handful of reporters who are covering it. I will fly home tomorrow. I was supposed to fly home yesterday, but it kept getting pushed back because of these this match being rescheduled. It's kind of a surreal scene. You know, they have these youth fields set up, which are basically TV studios. And, you know, they've had trouble with two teams who had to withdraw because of coronavirus outbreaks. They were tested positive here, but it's believed that they were infected back home before they arrived. Their arrivals were, you know, within a week or two of the tournament starting. Other teams have had some issues too, and the DC United versus Toronto game has been postponed twice. First, because of Toronto's travel delays due to testing issues in Canada, and then for the second time yesterday, obviously right before the game was started, because of issues on both teams.
Now, I didn't even know that they did that, because you look at with the media aspect of it, you look at the NBA, and there's reporters that are within the bubble. And you've got to, you know, commit to that. But the MLS is letting you guys show up, and I assume you can't get too close to these guys, right?
No. It's, you know, we get our temperatures checked as reporters. We're credentialed. There's only certain areas of this sports complex where we can go. There is a dedicated press area behind the goal. You know, where we can see things from a difficult angle. We're not allowed to talk to any players in person. All interviews are done via Zoom, just as if a reporter was back home. So there's not a lot you can get, but I thought it was important to come down for a week and just see what it was like and gain as much experience as I could.
I find it interesting how, you know, if you can do it, I think the bubble can either be a great success, like the basketball tournament. I'll reference that again. We've got our Marquette alumni in there on Tuesday night in the championship. They had a couple of cases, but they've done testing the last couple of days, and it seems to be completely out of the bubble. So if you can do that, that is fantastic. But if you have a bubble and then guys have it, well, okay, now you're like in a petri dish. You look at some leagues that are trying that. Baseball's going to try to travel, and then it's up to a lot of their guys. Yeah. What do you think? What way do you think is better to try to have sports during a global pandemic, Stephen?
That's a great question. We just don't know. You know, it's a new coronavirus, and we're still learning on how it behaves. Certainly, there are different options to go forward with sports. MLS and the Women's Soccer League (NWSL) has chosen to go into a bubble. The NWSL is in Salt Lake City, and MLS is here in the Orlando area. Now, you know, you put 26 teams and all their staff plus league people and referees and everyone else, you got more than 1,800 people staying at a massive Disney resort. You know, everyone's tested regularly. Anyone who has any positive tests goes into isolation in a certain part of the hotel. You know, they conduct contact tracing. You know, it's not a perfect system. And, you know, you're going to have issues. The NBA is going to be here at Orlando, same situation, Disney Resorts and the ESPN Wide World of Sports complex. You know, they're here for 3 months, up to 3 months, if a team goes to the final. So, you know, I think it's unavoidable, but, you know, leagues are trying to figure out a way with consultation with their medical experts to you know, make it happen as safely as possible.
Starting to think, as we talked to Stephen Goff here, Washington Post, he's covering a soccer game which is about to kick off in 13 minutes, 8 in the morning our time, 9 in the morning in Florida. Major League Soccer playing some games at night and then some in the morning because of the weather concerns. Gets hot during the day, of course, and then trying to get everything in. How much do you think? I mean, you got to think that these other leagues, especially the NBA with the MLS being right there, have to be looking at things that they are doing, because you see a couple of teams had to get booted out for the reasons that you mentioned. But also, I think you're going to see in sports, ultimately, I'm getting more optimistic that if they're going to start the season, they're going to do whatever they can to finish. But if we look at these schedules for our teams here, the Bucks and the Brewers, and just think that that's going to be how it's played, oh, no, there's going to be postponements. I think that is going to be the norm in a lot of these sports.
Yeah, no, absolutely. If what happened yesterday with DC United and Toronto, where they were minutes away from the scheduled kickoff, and then the game was suddenly postponed because of two issues, one on each team. I think that is what you should expect. I mean, we are in the Wild West in sports and in the medical field. And if you're going to try to perform sports, it's not going to be seamless. You got to be ready to adapt. You got to be prepared for positive tests. You know, you're going to have to be prepared for perhaps teams getting booted. The one advantage I think the NBA might have over MLS, the team showed up very close to the start of the tournament, where that incubation period would come into play as the tournament was starting. NBA teams, players are already here, and the games aren't starting for a few more weeks. So perhaps that's the better way to go. I don't know. The NWSL has not had any problems since they arrived in Salt Lake City. One team had to withdraw, but that was from tests in Orlando, where the team's based, coincidentally. And they never made the trip out west.
I feel like, you know, as we're in the moment, I really want to watch some sports again, and got the TV on for the game here this morning, and I'm excited. Hopefully we see some football. I wonder if in 5 years we're going to look back and say, remember when there was a pandemic and we tried to play sports during that time? I just, there's such a surreal aspect to all this.
Well, there's certainly economic pressure here. You know, for MLS, they need to make good with their sponsors and their TV contracts. You know, they lose out on game day revenue and ticket sales, which is a major part of their business model. You know, NBA was nearing the end of a season. They have economic obligations with TV and sponsors as well. You know, that's what's driving this. You know, let's be honest here. The players are caught in the middle. They worked out the best deals they could through their collective bargaining agreements. And, you know, away we go. Hopefully everyone stays healthy. But, yeah, I agree with your point. We might look back on this and say, what were they doing? On the bright side, maybe everything goes well. And we get through this and there's minimal health impact.
It seems like, you know, the MLS has overcome the hurdles that were going to happen in a bubble situation. You know, there's still a positive test here, positive test there, but they are overcoming the hurdles and putting out games. Are we close to 90%, 100% that we assume this tournament will get finished, or is still there a big threat that they will not get finished?
Yeah, no, I mean, it's impossible to predict. There are isolated cases now. In the case of DC United, a player tested positive, but then he took the test again and it was negative. You know, again, we're in the Wild West and these tests aren't 100% certain. So these things are going to pop up throughout the tournament. The league has said all along that if they reach a point, and we don't know what that point is, that health becomes a major concern, they will shut it down because they have to. You know, I think they're okay. Everyone hopes they're okay going forward, but you know, you never know if, you know, an outbreak hits and they've got to take a hard look at continuing the tournament. It's going to be the same situation, with the NBA, the NHL, you know, baseball, if things get ironed out with their testing issues.
Yeah, maybe a lot more eyes from those leagues on this one than there's ever been. There were about 8 minutes from kickoff. We're still scheduled to play. Yes, Steven?
I'm looking over at the field. It looks like we're okay. Third time, hopefully, is the charm for these two teams. I will say that it's, you know, even at 9 a.m., it's the weather's pretty oppressive here in the middle of July. It's very humid and it's hot, and it's going to get hotter as the game goes on. So, you know, we'll see what this match actually looks like in terms of quality and the energy and performance the teams are able to put out.
Well, you be safe. We'll look for you on TV, and we hope to talk again soon. I do appreciate your time.
Many thanks, Bart.
Steven Goff joining us again, Washington Post. You can follow him on Twitter and get as close to an inside look as you're going to get at this bubble right now with what the MLS is doing at Soccer Insider again on Twitter. And we thank Steven for his time. He joins us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. Is your passion outgrown your home? A Great Midwest Bank home renovation loan may give you the space it deserves. Visit greatmidwestbank.com today. Simply local lending since 1935. Travis Diener also in a bubble. Marquette in the championship in the basketball tournament. He will join us in about an hour, just after 9 o'clock. They are playing for $1 million. The Golden Eagles alumni got all the way to the finals of this tournament last year. They are in the finals again, the basketball tournament, which, again, it's really cool to see alumni from these universities get together. There's a lot of guys playing in Europe that come back here and get to have the spotlight on them. There's some former Badgers that played. I think it was a Big Ten sort of hodgepodge team. Joe Johnson was on a team. He's just like putting up 35 a night. His team lost yesterday, Overseas Elite. So you're going to see Marquette tomorrow night, 6 p.m. in the basketball tournament championship. And Travis Diener will join us after 9. The other interesting thing about this game, there's going to be a pro sport game live at 8 in the morning. Imagine that. Getting up. So what time, like if you play, I think of these baseball players, they have a game at, let's say, 7 at night. They show up to the ballpark around 1:30. I mean, when did these guys get up this morning? 3 in the morning? It just sounds terrible. And they had to do it yesterday because that got postponed. It just sounds miserable. We started the hour. I was going to either do Lorenzo Cain cuts or set my DraftKings lineup for this game. I have a little time to set my DraftKings lineup for this game now, but DraftKings isn't offering this game for whatever reason. Maybe they think it's going to get postponed again. I don't know. I've just been playing. There's like no sports, and I've been playing more daily fantasy sports than ever. I did a basketball tournament one yesterday. I did take Diener. I didn't know if he was going to play, but I did take him. He was only rostered by like 1.3%. I cashed 25 cents on my free ticket.
Did you have ISO Joe on there?
Oh, I had ISO Joe, of course.
Nice.
But he was so much money, it was hard to build the rest of the team. I've got to set my lineup for Tuesday. Maybe I'll ask Trav if he's a good bet, because he didn't get in till late yesterday. Travis Diener, 9 o'clock. More coming up here on The Fan. The Brewers putting out a great video this weekend, a view we've never seen before. And if I was a pro athlete, if I could be any position, it's a view I'd never want to see. What job in sports as an athlete, as a player, would you most want, would you least want? We'll kick that around with you guys next, 799-1250 on The Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.